Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
And here we go.
You're tampering with powers reserved to God.
Oh, I was joking! Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
What you are doing is mad. It is diabolic.
Alive! It's alive!
Ah! Hey! What's going on, everybody? That's right, we're back again. I'm Jesse Shadoos, and welcome to Yeah, I Said It version 2.0. My new co-host is with me,
David Ward.
That's right, and Kamal is no longer with us, sadly. He's off fighting the Afghan hordes and the ISIS mongrels, and we wish him good luck and Godspeed.
I gotta say, for a second, when you said no longer with us, I thought you were going to say fast. That was...
No, he's very much alive and well. And we also, we've got something of a blast from the past with us tonight. We're both drinking the magic elixir known as Surge. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's been 14 years since the grand citrus elixir has touched these salty, parched lips. And my friends, I'm happy to say, thanks to Coca-Cola, Amazon, and the good people at the Surge Movement on Facebook. Oh, you hear that? You hear that? That's citrus orgasm in a glass is what that is.
It's also less than 1% juice.
Right. Because when you're drinking a soda, you already know you've made bad life choices. So you gotta double down. Okay. We're going to talk about something that's near and dear to our hearts. And if you've ever listened to this podcast before, you know exactly where I'm going to go with this. The Star Wars teaser trailer, man.
Yeah. Force Awakens.
You know, I fucking hate that title still. It's so lackluster, dude. It's like, oh, the Force was taking a nap, but now it's up and it's ready to play.
It might be.
I'm just saying. It's like Attack of the Clones was, okay? Ooh, Attack of the Clones.
Man,
sounds like a Jerry Bruckheimer film.
I still feel like Attack of the Clones, in my mind, was what I was looking forward to.
Well, actually seeing the battles.
Yeah, and then it just didn't happen.
I mean, you literally called it the Clone Wars. I don't know, man. It just... prequels aside, very lackluster titles until the last one, you know, Revenge of the Sith. Even the Phantom Menace made sense. The Clone Wars, I think, was just kind of like a, hey, this is what's happening.
Yeah. Here's Attack of the Clones.
Right.
This is what's in it.
But The Force Awakens, man. I mean, it just sounds so meh.
I think the problem is that we don't have any context at all.
Right.
Because there was... I don't even think, besides the bullshit that was talked through the trailer, you don't have any context as to what it could
be. Well, I mean, one thing we can rest assured of is that J.J. Abrams' Star Wars already has more diversity than George Lucas's. First scene, black stormtrooper, albeit a little ashy and sweaty in the desert. There he is.
There's no other option in the desert. You know the stormtrooper suits don't have any room for cocoa butter or anything like that.
For cocoa butter? No, that's Jesus Christ. That's not racist at all. Cocoa butter. Not every black person slathers on cocoa butter. Just, you know, hey, I'm going outside, better put the cocoa butter on.
I'm not racist.
Jesus.
We'll say that for 2.0.
That dude was ashy like Catholics on a Wednesday.
The surge just almost killed me.
Yeah, that's what it does. That's the magic of the surge. If it doesn't go down the wrong pipe, it's definitely going to get you in your caloric intake.
Whew.
It comes in a 16-ounce can, by the way.
Yeah, they don't
fuck around. No. For $14, a 12-pack plus shipping, unless you have Amazon Prime, they better not be playing.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, but okay, so you see this stormtrooper, okay?
On a real set. Because that didn't look like CGI sand.
No, it wasn't. And it was filmed in Tunisia, so you know that motherfucker was real hot.
Yeah.
That sweat was no joke. But, side note, have you seen the George Lucas director's cut of the teaser trailer on YouTube?
Yeah.
Where there's like stormtroopers on dewbacks like 4 deep.
Yeah. It's got about 20 X-Wings.
Right.
Like, it's great.
Yeah.
I think that was almost better than the original trailer.
Yeah. No, I would agree. If you haven't seen that, Go on YouTube and watch the George Lucas special edition of the Star Wars teaser trailer. But getting back to the trailer, yeah, random black stormtrooper guy who looks confused and scared and sweaty. Cut to soccer ball robot,
which I think is very useful.
It was cool and definitely gets around quite a bit, but like, I don't know, man. Like, it just was random as fuck. And then cut to a girl in a dirty shirt on speeder, and then
a block speeder. Like, that thing was not,
it, you know,
new age.
Well, that's,
speeder,
see,
at all.
Well, that I don't have a problem with because they're on Tatooine. And let's face it, on Tatooine, this is an outer rim world. This is a backwater of the galaxy. They don't get the new stuff.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who does. The stormtroopers, bro.
Yeah.
That new stormtrooper helmet
looks sick
as
fuck.
Is fucking sweet.
Yeah.
And it's slick. And it looks mean. And it looks futuristic. Nair, I say, it actually looks more futuristic than anything else in that Star Wars universe.
Oh, yeah. Like, and I want
to it looks
want
almost
say,
out of place.
I want to say to these people, when the soccer ball droid is going by, I feel like that's the red herring of the trailer. Because
yeah.
to me, what was near and dear to my heart in the prequel trilogy,
right?
May I say, my favorite part of it,
hmm.
there's broken down pod racers behind him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't
you
catch that
see
the
him.
First time.
And that pod racing made the N64 pod racing games,
ugh.
Which I played probably too much.
You know, did you ever play the pod racer arcade game where you actually were in the pod
oh,
racer?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that one, it felt like, my dad's got one of those Dixie riding lawnmowers with the
right.
sticks, and I can't drive that, and I can't drive a pod racer.
No, you're done. If you can't drive a Dixie lawnmower,
no.
then pod racing's
not
your
steer. It's not my thing. I need a joystick or a steering wheel of some sort. I will say this, if you've ever played Star Wars Kinect on the Xbox 360, you'll understand just how tenuous pod racing can be, because literally, you have to hold your arms out in front of you the whole time.
Oh, yeah?
On the Kinect. And just like, you know, you're on the pod race. But, like, you have to, like, pull one back to turn left and pull one back to turn right. So you're sitting there with your arms out in this pod race that's literally, like, 4.5 minutes long.
No way.
That is the longest 4.5 minutes of your fucking life. Especially if you're an out-of-shape video game player, which is 95% of us. What are you doing? My arms were cramping. It got to the point where I flipped my gaming chair around so I could rest my hands up on either side of the gaming chair, and then I could just pull the gaming chair back and rock it back and forth when I wanted to do certain things. And that's how you do it. Hashtag fat life.
Yep. So then next up in the trailer, we've got the scene of the inside of the X-Wing with Oscar Isaac,
right?
who was just recently casted to play Apocalypse in the X-Men.
Which,
Age of Apocalypse.
Not getting too much into the X-Men just yet, but I am super stoked for that movie. Moving on.
And so, he's inside an X-Wing, which
right.
we did see, if you look on JJ's Instagram.
Yeah.
They built X-Wings. They built
oh, yeah.
the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
This is a real set movie, which, I mean, he's kept to that promise so far, and I'm excited.
I'm very
that.
Much excited that the CG has been very much toned down. I thought that was something that the prequels really missed the mark on, is that, you know, there's certain things that have a more organic feel. And in my opinion, in the prequels, they didn't get Yoda right in CG until the third one.
Yeah.
Completely. And it still, to me, wasn't as realistic and as engaging as the Frank Oz puppet from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'd agree with that. The issue is that, and I feel that the CGI really hurt the movies a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It made the acting seem cheesy, as well as the
right
the content.
Well, there's certain scenes where I feel that okay, where you see, like, especially in like Naboo and Theed and stuff like that, where you have these aerial shots and these big grand scoping things where they're zooming around a lot and the open fields on Naboo where they're doing the fighting, that's fine for CGI. But when you're sitting in a palace or you're say at the theater with Anakin and Chancellor Palpatine, so much of that, whole backgrounds, everything that was a part of it, they were literally just sitting in front of a green screen. And while acting-wise that takes talent, I feel it does take away a little bit, A, from the performance, and B, from the realism.
Oh yeah.
Of being in a real set and feeling like you're actually sitting somewhere.
So we've got that. We've got X-Wings flying over a lake.
Oh, dude.
Which is awesome.
Skim
because
in the water.
I think that that's one thing that they missed a lot.
Dude, how funny was that in the George Lucas special edition one where C-3PO and R2 come cutting across the lake in the speeder?
Because you can't have enough things in the background. You have right. to have everything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I like the fact that JJ's got it to where we're seeing ships fly close to the ground. It's not all space. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, near ground battles.
Well, I'm interested to see some different locales.
Yeah,
some places too. We haven't seen before. I mean, it's wide open as to what they're going to do and what they can do.
Right.
I'm interested to see Benedict Cumberbatch.
They don't know. That hasn't been confirmed yet.
That was his voice.
No, it the,
wasn't it.
They came out and confirmed that was Andy Serkis.
Was it really Andy Serkis? Tell
Which
me, it didn't sound like Benedict theory. Cumberbatch though. Tell it me, did, it didn't sound like.
But it lends to my theory that Andy Serkis will be. And I put this down. He will be the actor that
the
is mo-capping Jar Jar Binks. I'm going to put that down.
If Jar Jar
An
Binks
old wise in, Jar Jar Binks.
He's not going to be in this movie.
Yeah, yes he is.
Listen, Jar Jar...
I want it.
Listen, Jar Jar Binks killed himself after he realized that giving the Chancellor emergency powers created the Empire. Jar Jar Binks probably ate a bullet.
Oh,
many
man.
Years later.
I like Jar Jar. Jar Jar was awful, but he was a good kind of bad.
So, you know, I mean, there was people that didn't like the Ewoks in the 80s, okay? But I still think
just,
Jar Jar...
Please don't compare the Gungans to the Ewoks, though. That's really... That's
well,
skimming.
But in reality, skimming. We really have to, because the people that originally saw those movies in the 80s and the theaters... You know, that generation, you know, which I just skimmed at the edge of, didn't like the Ewoks. Treated the Ewoks like we today would treat Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing. It was a way to get the kids into the Star Wars back then. But come on, dude. Ewoks are lovable little furry fucks.
And Jar Jar is a Rasta fish.
Jar Jar is a walking, talking, breathing, fucking living... racial stereotype.
He was more of a racial stereotype than the two black Transformers in Transformers 2.
Yeah.
He really was.
I mean, between him and the fucking very Asian Nemoidians, I don't...
Yeah.
our blockade is a perfect re-regroup.
God, that...
Come on, dude.
Oh, man.
Come on.
You got the prequel trilogies.
Even Ni and Nub in Return of the Jedi was a fucking, like... racist-looking Asian alien. with his front teeth hanging over his bottom jaw. Come on.
Which is why I think it's... I mean, this is... We're getting back to the part where, you know, we're talking about the practical effects and
right.
the fact that they made those people look like that with prosthetics. And I feel like in the prequel trilogies, they didn't do that as much.
They didn't do it at all, really. I mean...
Now, this is where the CGI is awesome.
Right.
That fucking scene... where you hear the new John Williams composition
mm.
blasting through your speakers,
mm-hmm.
and then you see the Millennium Falcon with a replaced satellite dish.
Yes.
It's rectangle now.
Yep.
And it's fucking spinning through the space, and then you see the two
TIE fighters
swing by. Jesus Christ. That was the money shot of the trailer, and
of
that
course
was gold.
It was. I mean, that was what everybody was like, oh my God, I gotta clean my shorts.
Seeing the Falcon just, fly again.
Yes, obviously. Obviously.
Whew.
But, I don't know. I have some reservations. Not many. I'm not sure how I feel about the new lightsaber, man.
I like it.
I know you like it.
I like it a lot.
I know you do. I'm also not crazy about how the blade didn't look very well defined.
But that can be explained away. That
it could be.
That
it could
be
a very old
first saber.
It could be a very old one,
yeah.
for all we know.
And shout out to one of your buddies.
Dual phase.
Yeah, it could be a dual phase, which I don't think that's what a dual phase
is. The dual
phase
is a
like.
Wide blade, though.
I know.
And it's also very intense.
Yeah.
That one was very much not. Yeah. And if you looked really closely, and I freeze framed it quite a few times so I could like really nerd into it, is you can almost see little kind of like arc spirals coming out of it a little bit. Like it's not really stable. And dual phase lightsabers arguably aren't that stable, but they're also not really skinny, and they're not, you know, it's not the same thing. I just don't know about the little...
The like, cross guard?
Yeah.
I don't know. If Luke had one, and if Vader had one, that shit wouldn't have happened to them.
You know,
just saying.
Well, there's that, but I just feel that it's going to bring in a style of lightsaber fighting once again that's reminiscent of Obi-Wan and Vader in Episode 4, like, hiya, take that. Here's my sword.
I think it'll be a little more
have
than
at
that.
Thee. I mean, where I'm used to, like, people flipping around and very acrobatic lightsaber fighting, like, that's what I like, man. I like that. I think of the Jedi and the Sith more like Shaolin monks fighting with the lightsabers more so than I do, like, King Arthur's court. It's but a scratch.
I think they're going to bring it back both ways. Maybe, you know, there's always the rule of two, so there's probably going to be two Sith.
Right.
I mean, there's going to be God knows how many Jedi. There's no specifics
I'm willing to go into this movie with a completely open mind. I've intentionally avoided every hearsay about it. And I've not read any of the so-called pseudo-scripts that people have been posting. I've stayed completely away from all of that so I can go into this movie completely open. My only thing is, and it's because I've read almost all the books, I have a hard time erasing 30 years of canon to accept what's going to happen to me, like, at the theater. To like, sit there and go, okay, there's no Mara Jade. There's no Jason and Jaina Solo. There's none of the things that I know to be canon. There's none of those things that are going to happen. They may take a few of them. They may borrow from some of that stuff. You know, but truth be told, this is really going to be a new generation Star Wars in many respects.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm going to be left behind. I'm hoping I'm not.
I think as a fan, there's no way you'd let yourself be left behind.
I do know I'm saving up money right now to get all the new action figures. That is fucking...
Oh, man. That's a whole nother thing.
Because that is going to be... Oh, for the first time since the prequels.
Yeah.
New Star Wars figures that are actually from movies.
Yeah.
So, these are going to be... Oh, I can't wait. But anyways, getting into the Jurassic Park...
Yeah, Jurassic World.
Saw Jurassic World trailer.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Team of buddy dinos.
I don't really know if those were his buddies.
No, he's supposed to be in the movie. He is supposed to be one of the animal trainers.
So he's a dinosaur whisperer?
So he's the fucking dino whisperer. And he... The thing is they're thinking that he opens up the pen to have his Velocibuddies help him... I just hope they have sick fucking nicknames, just like the Street Sharks, and it would be so awesome.
I love Chris Pratt. Obviously, I loved him in Parks and Rec. I love him in Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm half expecting a scene where all of a sudden, I'm going to see headphones go on, and it's going to go, ooga chaka, ooga chaka.
I can't fight this feeling.
Man, I...
Deep inside of me.
It's going to be Velociraptors in a chorus line.
Yeah, that'd be... I'd be good. I'd pay to go to Jurassic World to see that show every day of the week.
I mean, it would be entertaining. There's that. Okay, we watched the trailer, and you've elaborated to me on exactly what this hybrid is. From what I saw of the hybrid dinosaur, it looked to me like a cross between a T-Rex and a Velociraptor.
Which
you said I was partially correct. Now, what are the other three animals this thing's mixed with?
No, there's only two.
Two.
Now, this is all pseudo-speculation, but what it's supposed to be is a T-Rex, a Velociraptor.
Okay.
So you've got the scavenger and the hunter.
Right.
Then you've got Anaconda, so it can strike at you, I guess. It looks kind of neat in the concept art. And then most dangerous animal of them all, Jesse... is the cuttlefish.
Oh, Kyle! Look out for the cuttlefish!
So, the cuttlefish can blend into any of its environments, I guess. That's right. The allure behind the animal.
So would they name this thing the Al Gore?
Oh my gosh. So I don't know why these people put a cuttlefish into a theme park monster, because how are the people going to see it in its environment?
Here's what makes no sense.
So they just made a killing machine.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Here's what makes no sense to me. You make the ultimate killing machine dinosaur for a theme park that you invite children to.
Yeah.
To sit in little rolly pods and ride around in.
Fucking those rolly pods. Brought me back to the American Gladiator days of my life.
Dude! Holy shit, were you thinking that too?
Yeah, of course I was. That was great. I just wanted to see fucking Laser take down one of those dinosaurs. And
do you wanna,
that was what I was looking
talk about
to.
Some quintessential early 90s testosterone-infused entertainment.
Laser! Dynamite!
Laser! Taser! Blazer!
If it had a Zer, if it had a Zer at the end,
yeah,
you were
Diamond.
Able.
Steel.
Oh, that's right. They did have female gladiators.
Oh my god, please. If you want to call them female gladiators.
Those were the manliest just
fucking
women.
Fucking chicks with giant arms and 7-inch clits. Fucking.
Oh, you can't do that when I'm drinking Surge. It's already tried to kill me once.
You can't do that when you're drinking anything, to be honest with you. That's my bad.
So.
Right.
And I just kept thinking, Jesse.
Yeah.
Because you watch Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah,
I watch Parks and Rec.
You watch it a lot more than I, but I do try to catch it when it's on.
The line where Chris Pratt says, a new dinosaur, that's not a good idea. All I could think of is, Andy Dwyer's really fucking upset with you right now. Because I'm sure all he would think of is, a new dinosaur? Yes! Give me! I want to see all the new dinosaurs.
I think that literally the best parts of Parks and Rec has to be Aziz Ansari and Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah.
That's it, really. If you take those two out of the show, it's a horrible show. One of my favorite episodes that we watched was the one where he's trying to do the new song for her run for city council.
Yeah.
See, and I see that right there, and I see so much Star-Lord right there. And that's what I loved about Guardians of the Galaxy, is that it was Chris Pratt taking the role serious, but having fun.
100.
And that's what you got to do.
That's
why it's a success.
Did you know who they almost casted for Star-Lord?
No. Is it somebody horrendous?
It was the
was
guy
it Kurt
from,
Russell?
No. He's too busy with Fast 7.
Kurt Russell?
Yeah.
Kurt Russell's
Kurt Russell?
In Fast 7?
I think
7?
It's Kurt Russell. I'm pretty sure. We'll talk on that later. I'll look it
it's
up.
It's probably Kurt Loder.
But, so, the guy from It's Always Sunny,
the little short
Sweet
dude?
D's sister. Not Danny DeVito.
No, not Danny DeVito. The other short dude with
Charlie
the beard.
Day?
Yeah.
No, the guy that's Sweet D's brother.
Really?
Yeah, they were looking at him.
That would have flopped.
That would have been bad.
I'd rather have Danny DeVito.
All I could see is Danny DeVito talking to Yondu. Why'd you steal me? I can't do Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito would have been an interesting collector.
Yeah, that would have... That would have gone over well.
Or Al Pacino. You know, Al Pacino was a huge fan of that movie. I would not be surprised if in the second Guardians of the Galaxy, there's not at least not a cameo from Al Pacino. He actually said it was one of his favorite movies of all time.
Or is Adam Warlock. Al Pacino for Adam Warlock. Gimme.
You think so?
No. Please don't. But I just... Give me something. Maybe make him voice Howard the Duck in the second one. Give me that.
I liked Howard the Duck as Seth Green. That was pretty good.
That was Seth Green?
That was Seth Green.
That's how much I did not pay attention to that part.
Right. That was Seth Green.
Wow.
I
had no clue.
So, I'm going to talk about one more movie. And the movies that we're talking about, how funny is it? What decade are we in right now? Because it feels like we're in the 90s.
It doesn't feel like 2014.
No, because we're talking about what?
Star Wars and
right.
Jurassic Park and...
Right.
Terminator.
And Terminator, right? That's what we're going to talk about right now, Terminator.
We've
Genesis with an S-Y-S because they got to be different.
And I'm telling you, Jesse was looking up this trailer, and we couldn't even fucking find it because this dickhead refused to spell Genesis with the S-Y-S.
Because it's not how you spell it, and I don't care if you're being cool, and I know it stands for system or whatever the fuck they want it to stand for. Something like that, I'm sure. All I know is Daenerys Targaryen is Sarah Connor, and that's all I need.
That's, yes. All day.
I mean, and I don't even need her to show boobs, because let's face it, if you watch Game of Thrones,
you've seen
plenty of her naked. But it wouldn't hurt. Thank you very much. The guy that plays Kyle Reese.
Yeah.
Is the...
Courtney?
Right, Hi the Courtney? Son from the worst Die Hard movie ever.
Oh, man. It was bad, but that was...
Dude, that was horrible. if they ever make another Die Hard movie, it's too soon. I'd rather watch another 48 Hours with a washed-up Nick Nolte.
Oh, good Lord.
And a Eddie Murphy that picks up transgenders.
Hi, Courtney was just casted as Captain Boomerang also in the Suicide Squad movie.
Was he really?
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting...
Captain fucking Boomerang.
It's an interesting movie because it's got a really award-winning cast for such an oddball movie. You've got Will Smith playing Deadshot.
Yeah.
You've got Academy Award winner... What's his name? From 30 Seconds to Mars.
Jared Leto?
Jared Leto. Thank God, Jesus.
Which means we're guaranteed to have a dramatic 30 Seconds to Mars song for the trailer.
More than likely. But Jared Leto playing a young Joker, which, you know, hey, I could see that. I can actually see that.
They have Rick Flagg in it.
Really?
The evil fucking... I just always saw him as the evil G.I. Joe.
Did you hear about Mark Hamill reprising his role as the trickster for The Flash?
Yeah. Now we're bouncing around a lot, but
we are bouncing around a lot, but it just happened to...
You still have not watched The Flash.
I know.
And you need to.
People tell me this. You know, I've been watching Gotham. My girlfriend and I have been watching Gotham.
You could be spending that hour watching The Flash, and you'd be better off.
I like Gotham. The only thing I don't like is the fact that they're in one season, they've thrown everything into the mix. So at this point, I really don't see where they're going to go.
That's because they don't have a direction. They want to be Arrow and Flash in one show, and they're not able to do it.
I think before the end of it, we're actually going to see Batman in the show.
Just,
I mean, not in the first season. No, I mean, like, legitimately, by the time it's all said and done, I think probably by fourth or fifth season.
Imagine if they do, like, with Young Justice. Didn't Young Justice do a time jump where there was the Justice League, and then they did a time jump, and then it was Young Justice?
Right.
That'd be fucking sick. Give me a Batman show. I mean, granted, they're not going to do that, because Ben Affleck isn't going to do a TV show.
No, but then again, Warner Brothers is saying they're not going to use The Flash from the TV show in the new movie.
They already casted The Flash.
Right. They're not going to use the guy from Arrow in the new movie.
Which is a shame.
Well, both of it's completely you get people attached to a person playing a character, and then you're going to throw somebody they've never seen as that character into the movie. DC can't possibly do movies any more wrong than they're doing them.
And we talk about this
all the time at length.
Every time I'm on the podcast, this gets brought up.
But it's true. They can't do it any worse. They're great with animation. They should just stick to animated and TV shows and leave the movies to the professionals at Marvel Studios.
Yeah. And
moving right along. Terminator.
So, Terminator, back, making it full circle.
Yeah.
Terminator obviously is establishing this entirely new timeline.
We literally just Terminatored that whole conversation.
Yeah.
we just time jumped all over the fucking place.
We time jumped back, changed the entire future. Right. We're going to make this right again. Mm. So, you see a shot of, like, the trailer was a fucking mess.
It was like a Tarantino trailer.
I mean, it was cool, but you see, like, old Terminator.
Right.
You see old Arnold with normal colored hair, old Arnold with gray hair.
Yeah.
Young CGI Arnold.
You see
an Arnold carrying away a young Sarah Connor.
Yeah, I don't...
With a fucking rocket launcher on his shoulder.
Right, look, hey, we've all got questions, more so than answers. Why does Arnold have gray hair? He's a Terminator. Although, and, you know, I know some nerd's going to call me out on it if I don't mention this, his tissue on top is living tissue, so it could
possibly... I'm almost 100% that it is.
It possibly could age along with him if he stayed in a time period long enough. It is. Because he says it's living human tissue on top of a metal exoskeleton, or endoskeleton.
The T-799 is the first Terminator with living tissue. Fun fact.
He's a T-800, so he's got living tissue.
Yeah, so he's there.
Right. All right. So I guess if he is back there long enough. I always find it funny, though, that John Connor knows Kyle Reese is his father. And he has to send him back every single time.
And he acts like he's not his dad. Not he like he.
But
acts
he has
like,
to know, though.
Of course he knows.
But you, in every single movie, you never see it like it dawns on him that, oh, shit, this guy stooped my mom.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I like, kind of look like him.
I sent this guy back in time and basically to fuck my own mother.
Yeah.
And bring me into existence, which is a whole nother paradox within itself.
Did
right there.
Did you watch the Terminator movie with Christian Bale?
Yeah. Salvation?
I didn't see it.
I liked it. It didn't... But what bothers me about Terminator Salvation is that, like, they destroyed the main... they destroyed the main Cyberdyne base with Skynet.
Right.
But Skynet was still in the satellites and other places. But it was a... I thought we were going to get another trilogy, basically, that was going to finish Terminator.
I'm pretty sure that that's
in the future where I wanted it to finish, because that's what made the most sense to me. Now we've come back in time, and everything shattered to shit.
Terminator Salvation, like, was supposed to be as awesome
we're
as Attack
even,
of the
we're
Clones
not even,
was supposed to be.
We're not even following Terminator time travel rules at this point. We're following, like, Back to the Future timeline travel rules at this point. And not even that. I don't even know what we're doing. From that trailer, I literally couldn't tell you what the hell was going on, except there was, like, 50 different fucking Terminators.
You, basically, whereas Star Wars lacked information entirely, Terminator had too much, and none of it made sense.
And I'm so, well, and I'm trying to figure out, like, who are they marketing this movie to? To us? Because
people that think they're going to see Emilia Clarke's tits. That's what they're doing.
If they want to see Emilia Clarke's tits, they can just watch Game of Thrones season 1 through 4.
I think they're only in season 1.
No, they're not.
No?
No, dude. Okay. Remember, she takes a bath a couple of times, she bangs the one guy, and then...
Her brother. She never bangs her brother.
Not her brother. I'm talking about the other guy.
Oh, yeah. Khal Drogo.
Khal Drogo.
Oh,
and then,
God.
And
what
then
if
the
we
other?
Get a crazy... I want a crazy scene where Terminator pours molten metal over someone's head and he says, crown for a king. That was the best moment of season 1 Game of Thrones.
That was a great scene. But that's definitely not going to happen in that movie. Yeah. But getting back to crazy... movies and TV shows that don't make any sense. What is this crap you're telling me about a Krypton show?
Well, as you know, Jesse, people are loving Gotham. Why, I do not know, and I'm going to still state to this record, I don't like it.
I like Gotham.
And it winks at you, and it makes me feel uneducated when I watch it. Because they assume that I am a common man, and I am no common man.
Right.
So Krypton, yeah. I don't know what they're pulling from for this. But it's Jor-El's grandfather or his father.
Right.
So it's not even about Jor-El.
So
it's
we're literally seeing nobody that we know.
No one that we know. On a planet that we know... I mean, we know about Krypton.
On a planet that nobody cares about because it blows up.
Yeah, and these people don't have superpowers.
And they don't have a future.
They don't have a future. It's going to be a weird...
How can you get invested in characters that are all
going to
die?
It's going to be a space political drama. Where we know all of them are going to die regardless.
So it's Star Trek without phasers.
Yeah. Yep. That's precisely what it is. I mean, I just don't know. And the logo looks shitty.
Meanwhile...
It's going to be on sci-fi.
Meanwhile, this... Getting back to Krypton itself, like, if we're going by the way Krypton looks in the new Superman movie, how do people live on Krypton? There's no trees.
No.
There's no animal
dragon beast
life
things.
Except for dragon beast things. There's nothing that would indicate that life would be possible on Krypton.
Well, obviously, in the end, it wasn't.
Right. But it looks to me like... Honestly, it seems to me that Krypton was basically a liberal propaganda film about global warming and why you shouldn't tap the Earth for everything it's worth. Welcome to Krypton, third rock from the sun.
And the World Breakers came to Earth
right.
to finish the job we started.
Right.
With
see?
The fucking womp.
Right.
No,
that was Al Gore, man. I'm telling you. He's the only person I know that can fly around the world in his private jet and tell you to reduce your carbon footprint.
Yeah. Well, he probably plants a tree wherever he goes. Maybe.
I'm super cereal right now.
Yeah, guys.
Man Bear Pig.
So, yeah, we've got a planet we know little about. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of information out there in ancillary
But
comics.
Who really cares? They don't have powers.
Yeah.
Do you really want to watch, like, General Zod walk around, like, as a baby? Like, I don't understand what's the point of this.
Well, do you really want to watch Selina Kyle run around as a baby?
No, and you know...
Exactly.
Listen, and you know that's a big contention point for me in that Gotham show, is that... And I've mentioned this to my girlfriend many times. What the hell does Selina Kyle have to do with anything, really? Like, all of a sudden, she's... the only glue that ties that entire show together. You don't have Selina Kyle as the witness. You don't have a show, really, because Jim Gordon doesn't give two craps about Bruce Wayne. This whole thing doesn't happen. None of this. It just, I don't know, man. And introducing every character bothers me, and not just every character, but every instance of every character. Like, there's, I don't think there's maybe but two villains. They haven't shown the freaking.
They haven't shown Azrael, because of course he's right. Like a. Or Man-Bat.
Right.
I mean, they're just not showing the B characters.
I mean, we've all... Look, they've shown plenty of B characters. Mr. Freeze hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't. There's some fucking doctor.
I do like the Riddler's character. I think he's pretty cool. You can see where he's not appreciated. And I think that's probably going to happen more and more as time goes on. I don't really understand why Jim Gordon... is banished to Arkham Asylum to be a security guard, and how that's going to play into the next part of the season. I don't know, certain things seem forced. I liked Fish Mooney. I liked her character early on. Now she seems just a little bit over the top.
Oh yeah, that woman knows what she's doing. She is playing an over-the-top, ridiculous character.
I think it reminds me of like an Eartha Kitt Catwoman.
Yeah.
Honestly. And not that it doesn't have its place in a 1960s Batman, but it just seems to me like right now. And how is Maroni a Puerto Rican guy?
Did you say this is set in the 1960s?
No, I said it would make sense for a 1960s
Batman.
I feel like
this is just Batman in our day. Like, this
is
2014.
Though, but it is.
He's listening to metal music and being angsty with his notebook.
Right, I know. But.
So this is
one thing I will Batman say that Beyond. One thing I well maybe well technically I guess if you want to do the timeline like that, but one thing I do like about the show is when you look at the environments and stuff, it's very comic booky. Like when they show the city, there's real city, and then they add CG buildings, and the coloring and the lighting and stuff makes it feel very Gotham. I will say they capture the mood.
The cinematography
of Gotham
is good.
It's very well, very well.
But The complete opposite of it is Flash, though.
Right.
Because Flash seems to pull everything from the pages. And Geoff Johns is helping, like...
Well, see, that's the key, though. See, Geoff Johns is helping the show. If I'd have known Geoff Johns was involved with the show, I probably would have watched it a little sooner.
Oh, well, you need to catch up.
Right.
Mid-season finales this week.
Yeah.
They did a Flash versus Arrow episode last week, which was kind of okay.
I'll tell you what show that I watched the hell out of, and it's one of the funniest shows on television, in my opinion. The League.
The League?
Oh my God! The League.
Its final season is next season.
Is it really?
Yeah,
is it going to end?
That it's ending.
That's horrible, because The League is probably the funniest show on television.
This is the first time I've never watched it.
Oh my God, dude! It's on Netflix. Watch every season and enjoy. I mean, even if you don't play fantasy football or even watch football, it's fucking hilarious.
I love fantasy football.
I do. I'm in the playoffs, man.
I did not make the playoffs.
I'm having a real hard time right now because, you know, the conventional wisdom would be always start Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Peyton Manning has had two rough weeks, and this past week, most certainly, it was a rough week. I had to limp into the playoffs.
Did you get Andrew Luck?
No, I do not have Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck would be the conventional number one pick.
Right, yeah, Andrew
I got
Luck.
Him in the third
I've
round.
I've got Peyton and Tony Romo, and I've been doing pretty well. But my thing is this. You know, I'm probably going to play Peyton against San Diego, but if they're up at the half by a decent amount, even though they're playing for the bye, do you think they pull Peyton? Because
yeah.
If they do, I'm screwed.
No, they're going to pull him.
Tony Romo may get into a firefight with the Philadelphia Eagles and probably lose, but not before he throws 500 yards and 3 touchdowns.
I would say the safer bet's Tony Romo.
See, I'm going with Peyton.
Yeah, I said it 2.0, ladies and gentlemen.
I gotta do it.
We've got comics, movies, TV, and sports.
Shit, it's gonna get nuts in here.
We're everything.
Speaking of everything, this is something I've been dying to talk about, and I'm gonna come probably out on the wrong side of this for a lot of ladies, but fuck you, bitches. What? Bill Cosby didn't rape no fucking buddy. I mean, dude, honestly, could you imagine what it would sound like if Bill Cosby did rape a woman?
Oh, I'm sure you're gonna tell me.
Dude, I mean, it would be like, you are gonna sit there and take it. just let it happen. And if you're a good girl, you can get a pudding pop.
Ah. Oh my god.
Somebody give me the roofie, Camille. I mean, come on, dude. Bill Cosby raping nobody.
I can't, and...
Shh! Don't you be giving me none of that jibber-jabber, flinker-flanker-flinker-blip.
Oh, my God. I don't have anything to say. Because that's just...
Hey, hey, hey. Don't you be telling nobody nothing.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Bill Cosby leave her looking like mush mouth. Let me tell you something. You know what this is? It's a bunch of sad bitches with washed up careers. Okay? They want to get a class action suit against Bill Cosby. You know how many women it takes to get a class action suit? 20. There's 25 now. Okay?
I think the red herring, and I was listening to Tell Him Steve Dave, probably right. One of my favorite podcasts.
Love the podcast.
Besides ours. And they said that all credibility of these women
Janice Dickinson. Thank you! And listen, here's the thing, okay? If you couldn't get the police to believe a black man raped you 40 years ago, you're a fucking idiot. There's no way. And I'm not saying that maybe one of these girls didn't get raped by Bill Cosby. Okay, it could have happened, okay? Maybe one, okay? But not 25 of you, okay? Bill Cosby didn't have that kind of fucking time.
No. You know what I mean? Jell-O commercials and Cosby Show.
But not only that. Bill Cosby could have got all kinds of pussy. He was Bill Cosby. And I've seen some of these women that have come forward and said he raped them. And let me tell you something. Bill Cosby wasn't touching you. Not with somebody else's dick and them pushing. Okay? No. He's not. And the thing is most of these women's careers are washed up. And they want to write a book, you know, Bill Cosby touched me. You know, get some money. And then they want to fade back into obscurity. Meanwhile, you're going to ruin this icon's career.
He's
in his twilight years. See, 84 years old or some shit like that. Who gives a fuck?
Did you see him on Colbert the other day?
His eyes are glossed over. He's got cataracts.
He looks like he's dead.
He's literally got the money to have all that shit cut off of him, and he sits there looking like The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Okay?
He looks like he's barely alive, held together by duct tape.
What are you going to do to him? You can't put him in jail. There's no physical evidence that Bill Cosby raped you.
No.
And here's what irritates me, is you see all these celebrities distancing themselves from Bill Cosby right now. His new show got canceled. You see all these universities and stuff that used to welcome Bill Cosby with open arms, saying, you're not welcome here anymore. And there's literally zero proof that Bill Cosby raped anybody, okay? You're going to convict Bill Cosby in your minds, but a grand jury won't send the police to trial for choking a man to death? Let's be real about things here, people. Let's bring this into Realville for a second, and let's talk about this, because I'm serious when I tell you the slandering and slaughtering of Bill Cosby unnecessarily before this man can even defend himself is ridiculous. And as a man, if I'm even accused of rape, my life is fucking done. I don't even have to have done anything. I don't have to have committed any crime. But as a man in this country, if you're even accused of something like this, as much as I don't like Jameis Winston, okay?
Jameis
Winston. I don't like FSU. I'm a Gator fan. I call him Jameis.
Probably how he says his own name, too.
Because he dances kind of fairly, and he likes crab legs too much. But even if he did something, I mean, like, even if he didn't do anything, okay? As soon as somebody came out and said something, just like that.
Oh.
You know?
And the problem is that unless you're famous,
right,
or you have something going, like, you know, you're probably like stock exchange, crazy right. shit like that.
Right.
If you're convicted of, if you're accused of rape, you're done. You don't have any chance of living a normal life.
No.
Or unless you move away, even if you get clear of it, unless you move away, you're done.
The average person that makes, you know, $26,000-$30,000 a year gets accused of rape, you're done. You don't have the money for a good enough attorney. John no. Morgan ain't coming to your aid, not unless you're smoking a doobie. You know, you're not going to get any help. You're going to be in jail. You're going to be slandered. You're going to be slammed, and there's nothing you can do about it. And even Bill Cosby, with all this money, is not avoiding this. And I just want somebody to go, hey, maybe you bitches are full of shit. I'm just saying it. Maybe you bitches are money-grubbing, gold-digging whores, and you're full of shit.
And that's possible.
And I'm not saying any woman out there doesn't get raped, or I'm not saying rape's okay. All I'm saying is, just maybe somebody needs to call bullshit on this, and I'm the guy to do it. I think you're bullshit. Janice Dickinson, eat a cock.
Ugh.
Well, it's not like awful. She hasn't.
She's probably gobbled a couple.
Jesus, man. Her morality is more shaky than Michael J. Fox.
The only person that's going to believe you
is
in jail, and he's butt-fucking you.
Right.
And he's like, I know you didn't rape anybody, right. but I'm going to use you now.
Right. Well, while we were talking about the grand juries and everything, let's get into this Michael Brown thing. Just a little bit. We're going to talk about this in general, just in generalities.
I don't know. I don't like talking about the Michael Brown thing.
No, we're not going to even really touch on that as much as just to say that there were some particulars in the Michael Brown thing. Okay, did he commit a robbery? Okay, sure. Did the cop need to use lethal force? Probably not. But there's two other grand jury indictments that didn't happen that also lead me to believe there is a bigger issue at large here. Was his name Garner, I believe?
Yeah, Garner in New York.
Right. That was literally choked to death by police for resisting arrest, but resisting the most peaceful way a guy that size could have ever done.
Yeah, because he could have slammed that fucker.
That guy could have literally body slammed all of those guys and then walked off like nothing even happened, but he didn't. And he was choked to death, and once again a grand jury comes back and doesn't indict the police officers. And another case that wasn't even as greatly popularized as these two cases.
And I didn't know about this case.
Right.
I mean, I'd heard a little bit, but
I can't remember the boy's name, but he was a young boy with Down syndrome, and he was shot and killed by police for no reason. This kid couldn't have hurt a fly, but he was a threat to these officers' lives, so they unloaded in him. And this is a story that we're seeing more and more. And I got to believe that, okay, how many coincidences are there, okay? How long before we say, listen, maybe the justice system has a fucking problem. And just like when I talked about the Jon Stewart show last night.
Yeah.
You know, he mentioned something that makes complete sense. Well, you know, prosecutors and cops, they're on the same team.
Oh, yeah. They're on the side of the...
So it occurs to me that if a state DA or a prosecuting district attorney doesn't want a case to be tried, it's pretty much not going to get tried.
At
least not fairly. You know, and we've seen it time and time again, and it's only getting worse, and it's polarizing, and it's causing people to riot and people to lose their tempers. And I think in some cases, justly so. Do I think you should burn your own city down because you don't agree with what happened? Absolutely not. I think you're going to get a lot more heads to turn if you're holding arms and marching down the street singing songs in solidarity while police fire tear gas into you than you would if you were to, say, destroy stores and cause your own town to burn down
to
the ground.
Burn this motherfucker down!
But that's all we're going to talk to about that, because I really don't want to get too serious right now. But fuck Janice Dickinson and go Bill Cosby. But awesome things also happened today. In the world of video games.
Yeah.
Some might say it's your destiny to play this game. I would, even though I hate grinding. For some reason, I've bought a game that's all about grinding.
And it's only grinding.
And I can't fucking get enough of it.
I swear, guys, listen. And I know the hate that Destiny has. Mm. I get it fully.
Right.
This game is a game that probably should never have been released in the state it's in. It shouldn't have
this following. I mean, but what do you mean? Because graphically speaking and gameplay mechanics-wise, it is solid.
See, that's the thing, is that if you even look online or Google this,
right,
there was so much more of a story than what we have been given that was in the development
phases
of the game.
I mean, there was a whole Reef level.
Yeah, there was a Reef home base. Mm-hmm. If you go back and look, there's multiple things on YouTube that show the parts of the right. game that Bungie has obviously cut out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shell of itself.
I tell you who I blame for this. Activision.
Yeah.
Activision and in some small part, Electronic Arts. Who's partnered with Activision, who really doesn't have much to do with Destiny, so to say, but they're still going to get a chunk off of it somehow. And they're the reason why, Activision's the reason why Destiny is going to have a second game out in 2 years instead of having a 10-year shelf life with expansions like a regular MMO would have. They sold so many Destiny copies that Activision couldn't wait to put another one on the shelves. And I just hope it doesn't become the MMO Call of Duty.
It might. The problem is, and the Dark Below came out today.
Right.
Which is the expansion. And
played the first two missions, story missions today.
There's only three.
I'll be done when we get done with this podcast in about 10 minutes.
But the thing is, and I thought what was great, is that I felt that with this expansion, they finally fully realized what they wanted the Hive to be in the original game.
Right.
Because if you've played it, you know there's like fucking 8 million thralls everywhere.
Right.
It's kind of like the Flood.
I would agree.
It's exactly... And they didn't do that in the original game, and I think it's because they wanted to try to balance the enemies a little more.
Well, if we're going to draw comparisons to Halo, I'm going to mention this one thing, and it's a pretty big thing because Bungie has gone from making a space opera to making a space opera. The darkness, if you want to call it that, is pretty much the Covenant.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of loosely affiliated alien races who don't really like each other but have a common goal to destroy the Traveler.
And the only way you'd even know that is if they read the Grimoire cards.
Right.
They don't allude to any of that during the game.
No. And that's the thing, too, is that like people are like, what are these fucking Grimoire cards for? Well, if you read the Grimoire cards, okay, it's going to tell you the story that they should have been telling you in the goddamn game. And I'm sorry, but in my opinion, for a role-playing game, there's not enough role-playing. Yeah, it's a shooter. But you know what? So was Halo.
Yeah.
But Halo had an engaging storyline.
Even if it was generic at times, I loved it.
Right.
I read the books.
But there were characters that you loved, that you grew attachments to, like Cortana.
Keys.
For example.
Keys. Right. I'm still bummed about Keys.
Dude, but that's what I'm saying. You got attached to people, you know, to involved in the characters. And granted, while your character does speak, which I'm glad he does, and he's not just a silent protagonist, Peter Dinklage plays more of a role than your character does. If you can even say that.
The issue is the only person I care about in this game more than my own character
right.
is that fucker Master Rahul. And
yeah.
I hate that man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the ultimate villain in the goddamn game.
You think so?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's like, oh, let me take this thing you earned and let me give you maybe something. Let me look in the back. He's the Toys R Us guy that's like, oh, I don't know if we have
Rahul this in stock. Is the GameStop manager. Okay? Because he's like, let me take this awesome thing you got, and I'll give you $20 for it.
Yeah, there you go. let me let you trade in this thing you thought was going to be cool.
Right. Oh, you thought,
worth
you,
something.
You thought that game was gonna trade in for $20? Oh, no. $6.
Yep. And hey, I do got to say, their trading values have gotten better.
They have gotten better. No, and we're not hating on GameStop, but that is basically Rahul.
So, there's a new strike.
New strike.
Two new strikes if you have a PS4.
Yes.
Until the middle of fucking 2015.
That's right.
You got a new raid.
New raid. Can't wait to play it tonight.
People still haven't beat it yet, apparently. I'm looking at Reddit right now, which is the blackest hole of the internet that I've started to delve into, and they're still working on it.
You haven't found that 4chan guy yet?
No, I've been on 4chan.
No, but did you literally, when that whole fappening thing happened, you know, where all the celebrities got their pictures released?
Oh yeah.
Did you literally hear the newscasters refer to him as the 4chan?
The 4chan.
Like it was a guy? Like he 4chan was actually a guy?
That was great.
Dude.
I went on 4chan very casually.
If that doesn't make you lose complete faith in the integrity of the American media, just that one little thing. It doesn't have to be anything serious. They can't even fact check enough to get the fact that 4chan is a site and not a human being.
Oh, they did. The raid has been beat, by the way.
Oh, this just in. The raid has been beaten.
It took them 8 hours to figure out how to beat it. That's still fucking ridiculous.
That's on average from what happened with the first raid.
Let's talk about the first raid real quick.
Right.
Because I know people have probably picked apart at it in podcasts before, but the one thing I love about the game is the raid. And yeah. I didn't even get to play the raid until maybe like 2 months ago because I finally found five other people to play it with. And so, how the fuck did they find the little caveat in the rocks during the Gorgon's Eye part? The first people that played it.
Oh, when they call legions. You're talking about the Gorgon's Eye is down.
Yeah, if you're seen, they kill you all.
Yeah, yeah.
How did they find that spot? Because it's pitch black.
What, there's cave to the right?
Yeah, yeah. How the fuck do you think they found that? Because that area is big. Have you ever gotten lost in there?
Yeah, it's a big area.
It's big. And I just don't know how they found that.
Well, literally, if you follow the river straight back, it'll take you directly to that.
Well, yeah, I know that. But you don't know that the first time you're playing
it. You don't
know
that. But a seasoned gamer would look at that river and go, there's a reason why that river just kind of runs straight ahead and curves to the right and keeps going. There's another little creek over there, but it's not connected to anything. And if you literally look at it...
The creek is the fast way to the chest.
Right. But if you run down that river, okay, and you stop short, the Gorgon comes through, he doesn't see you, then you go up the rock, you do your thing, okay? That part right there probably took less time because somebody soloed it. I guarantee you the entire party backed out, or the guy was in there by himself... And he soloed that, because that would be the best way to figure that out right there. You got too many people going around, everyone's going to be going in a different direction, you're not going to know who's going to get nailed by the Gorgon.
Yeah.
But if everybody backs out except for the host, and he solos it, that is literally the best way to find it, and I guarantee that's probably what happened, not for sure. But I mean, even when you're playing it the first time, how do you find that little Spirit Bloom cave hole, you know, where when they call legions, you know? Or when you got to go through that hole to get to the next part. It's just a little hole in the side of the wall. Yeah. Who knows what the hell that is? Nobody even knows.
That's like everyone that's found the hiding spots in the certain strikes.
Right.
Every time I play with someone, I feel like there's a new fucking hiding spot that I've never heard of before.
Right. You know, I mean, on the Archon Priest, you had underneath the stairs.
Yeah.
And then there's also up top on the ledge.
The Vex Gatekeeper, the fucking...
Yeah.
Rock little area you can hide in.
On the Sepix Prime Strike, if you go outside the door when you first come out where the walker is, you can actually jump up on this little pipe on the side there, and you can snipe the walker from there, and no enemies actually attack you at all.
What? See, I didn't know about that.
See? And it's like I said, it's just little things you find. Like, take for instance, I'm playing the Master Chief Collection, and I'm playing the first Halo on Legendary.
Which has to be the hardest fucking game.
Yeah. Ever. She's my girlfriend's watched me play it, and she sits there and goes, what are you doing? Okay, you know the spot where you're on the Halo ring, and you have to get the first Pelican to come down.
Yeah.
And you have to rescue all the Marines from all the different spots.
Yeah.
Well, the first spot you go to is one of the tougher spots, because you're kind of out of ammo at that point when you get there.
You're out of ammo the whole fucking time.
Right, and you have to get to that life pod to get your shield thing back up, and you get your life back up. So I literally had beaten the first set of guys, and they're dropping the ships down. Well, if you go into that building just to the right of it, there's a little room, three walls and a doorway, only one way in, and it's inside that one little area where the enemies can walk in here, and they can come get you. But after... about 45 minutes of getting my ass kicked, not going in that room, I go, well, fuck it, there's only one entrance. Let me back myself into this corner, which sounds really stupid, but they can only come in one way. They don't come in there. They will literally sit outside that building to the right and shoot at you every once in a while. And so all you do is you pop out that door, take a couple of pop shots, throw a grenade, come back in.
Jesus.
Rinse and repeat.
That's great.
And you just figure these little things out. But that only comes through the fact that you're like, holy shit, I'm dying a whole lot. Let me figure out how not to die a whole lot.
Survival tactics.
Right. And that's basically what you get. Yeah, it's what you go through in video games. And it's all about strategy and finding certain places where, like, take for instance, on the Fogoth strike on the summoning pits.
I have not even found a fucking hiding spot in that thing. That place is miserable.
Here's how you do it, okay? All right, you know if you stay in the little room, the shriek responds up in the corner.
Oh, no, yeah, I've seen that one.
Right?
I've been part of that.
But what you do is, all those priests and the wizards and the hallowed knights will spawn out there.
Yeah.
Well, you run back into the room, the shrieker's going to spawn. Then you back into that other room behind the shrieker. The shrieker despawns, so does every wizard and every hallowed knight out there. And you walk back out there, they're gone for probably the next 5 to 10 minutes sometimes. And by that time, Fogoth's dead, and you're done, and that's how it works. And it's just these little things that you find on accident. You know, my clan's got like 29 people in it now, man. We're rocking. The Shadowfall Collective, man, on PlayStation Network. Hit us up. We're raiding. Constantly.
I'm not part of an active clan.
See? And that's why you need to get your PlayStation 4 back, so you can get on there and be playing Destiny on the console where it matters.
He's going to say this, but the only reason he's playing the Destiny on that console was because his Xbox One took a shit.
Right, and I traded it for the Call of Duty one that had a terabyte hard drive. But I was going to get it on both systems, but I'm kind of glad I'm playing it on PlayStation right now, just because of all the content coming first and exclusives. Yeah,
the problem is that I wouldn't be playing with the great group of guys I do with
right
now because they don't have PS4s.
Right.
And I mean, granted, I would love to play Destiny with you, but we've got it now to where we can do that raid in like 20 minutes.
We can do the first raid of that quick, too. It's just, you know, I didn't think I'd meet that many people on PlayStation I'd want to play with. I met a great group of guys on PlayStation we play with. We have a pretty big clan now.
Yeah, now that you can actually talk during your games, that's possible.
Right.
So.
Right.
I mean, not saying anything bad about PlayStation. I had a PS4. Mine took a shit on me, so I traded it in.
Right.
And got my Wii U.
I will say this, man. My Xbox Live is still a much better online network. And I can send a message on PlayStation and hope it gets there in 10 minutes.
Maybe. Know?
But one thing I will say, and I wish Xbox One would get on that shit, Major Nelson, is voice messaging. Please, bring it back. What the fuck?
That doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother you? It bothers me extremely.
I never used voice messaging.
I always used it. Who the fuck wants to type? And not only that, if I'm going to type, give me a goddamn chat pad or something for the Xbox One. Seriously.
You have a tablet.
Yeah, I know, but I really want to pull out my tablet,
put on smart glass. I use smart glass actively when I'm playing.
Right,
Xbox.
But see, I don't have to do that on my PlayStation. I can just talk, and magically, wing, there it is. Oh, yeah. You know what else it does? That Xbox doesn't? It fills in words. It has autocorrect, if you will.
Yeah,
and that's awesome. So, but getting off of that, yeah, I said it is back, ladies and gentlemen. Either next week or the week after, we're going to have the Christmas special. Haven't decided yet. Still working on the songs. We got brand new Christmas songs this year. It's going to be awesome. They're fucking hilarious.
And they're all going to be sung by him, because I do not have...
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, they've always been sung by me. But if you're wondering why Kamal's not here and David Ward's brought on board, don't worry. He's definitely not the consolation prize. He is awesome. Kamal just... it's not that we didn't have any creative differences or no hard feelings. He just doesn't want to do the show right now. He's doing other things, and he's moving in another direction, and we wish him all the best of luck. You know, you may hear him from time to time come back on the show when he's not killing the Afghan hordes or slicing ISIS's head off, because we all know Kamal is a warrior.
Yeah, with the most adorable dog in Marion County.
Right, right. His dog is adorable, but evil.
Yeah.
And she will kill you.
She will.
She will. She hides behind that little smile. Anyways, we're going to have a lot more to come, man. This is the brand new Yeah, I Said It. I'm Jesse Shadoos.
David Ward.
And we'll see you guys next week. Peace. I said it, I'm saying that I said it.